Have you ever heard the phrase, life is happening for you rather than to you, and just want to pull your hair out because it just sounds so preachy and just too positive? Trust me, I was one of those people, and I can honestly say that I have evolved to actually embrace this concept. This week's episode shares some real-world experiences in my life and in other people's lives that illustrate just how much the universe really, truly has our best intentions in mind. Stay tuned. Hello, 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 and welcome back to another episode of The Purpose Filter. I'm so glad you're here. And you know what? I'm glad to be here as well. So this week, we just came back from vacation about a week or so ago. And honestly, it's the first vacation that we took in about a year since we had our Iceland adventure wedding elopement, which was awesome. But I've traveled a fair amount since then. And mostly looking back on it now, it's been for conferences or seminars or leadership retreats or something related to either my work or business or these pursuits that I'm trying to do. And although, don't get me wrong, there has been recreation during these trips, it hasn't fully been about us and our downtime. So this was a really nice experience for us. We went to St. Thomas for a friend's wedding. She has always, always wanted to get married on the beach ever since she was a little girl. We went to school together and it was just really nice seeing that come true for her and for her new husband. And I've known her family for a long time. So it was really great to be able to share that together. So when we were thinking about where we were going to go afterwards, we finally decided on Costa Rica. It was between that and Mexico City, which we still want to go to, but it just, you know, we wanted more of a nature experience. We wanted animals and beaches and hiking. And, you know, we said we would save Mexico City for another time. So I came upon some realizations on this trip that I really wanted to share with you. Some for me were very profound. Some realizations I'd kind of known already, but they were further cemented in my mind and in my heart, and others that kind of just sat with me. And so here we go. When I plan trips, like many of you, I like to do my research, right? Just simple. I do blogs or websites and books, travel forums, reviews. It depends on how much time I have, how long we're going to go, and how everything else that's going on in my life. So I was researching about Costa Rica and I kept coming across this term, which is Tico time. Two words, Tico, T-I-C-O, and time. And everyone recommended, keep in mind Tico time, keep in mind Tico time. So I was like, what in the world is Tico time? I have no idea what this refers to. And I realized that Tico time is an idiomatic term that refers to, or at least Tico refers to, the people of Costa Rica. Natives of Costa Rica are called Ticos. And so one of the things that people told us about Tico time, some of the tour guides and the people that we were talking to who are natives, say that with regards to parties and weddings, people set the time actually for, let's say there's a wedding or a party. They're like, oh, actually come at 5 o'clock, knowing that everyone is going to show up 2 or 3 hours late. And so the actual time they want people to show up is probably 7, but they say 5 o'clock because they know that that's just a cultural thing that Ticos do. It was really interesting that they were like, if you actually show up to a party at the time that they told you, they're going to be like, well, what are you doing here? And then they quickly were like, well, that doesn't apply to work. We all show up on time for work. This is just recreation. I was like, okay, that's actually really kind of awesome. But what the forums were referring to for Tico time was really that a lot of times there are weather-related issues, because of, you know, rainy season, flights coming in and out of Costa Rica. That tends to be an issue a lot of times. You know, there may be just, it's just a slower pace of life. And so there's a potential for longer wait times, let's say, for getting your food at a restaurant. Whereas, let's say us in, you know, North America or whatever, are probably more used to like very rapid pace service. And so I was like, okay, cool. I can roll with that. I got it. Tico time. Done. Like, it's going to be great for our vacation. And for anyone who has traveled a fair bit, you know that shit happens when you're away from your home, right? You leave the comfort of your everyday life, and through the magic of technology, they just drop you in a totally different environment and you kind of have to fend for yourself. And so this is where I like to call, we started the misadventures of KZ and Jake. And I want to preface this with the fact that these misadventures, that I like to call them, really had nothing to do with Costa Rica or the people themselves. We had a blast. We had absolutely an amazing time, hence why I'm recording this about our trip and the lessons that we learned along the way. You'll see what I mean. So our first thing was, we were supposed to fly from St. Thomas to Miami, then Miami to Costa Rica. We were supposed to land Monday night, stay near the airport in San Jose, and then head out Tuesday morning and drive to Arenal and La Fortuna area to get to the volcanoes. So we get an email the morning that we're supposed to depart from St. Thomas saying that your flight from Miami to Costa Rica has been canceled because of weather. We're like, okay. So the second leg of our flight has been canceled. And so then, you know, we start calling people, try to figure it out. They get us on another flight. There's like, there's nothing today. I can get you on one tomorrow, which is Tuesday. Meanwhile, it was Monday for us. They're like, we can get you on Tuesday at 10 p.m. flying from Miami to Costa Rica, but it's got a stopover in Dallas. And it's a 9-hour stopover. So we would leave Miami at 10 p.m., arrive in Dallas around midnight, have a 9-hour layover at Dallas-Fort Worth, and then arrive essentially in Costa Rica Wednesday midday. And we were like, holy shit. You know, that's, I mean, thank you for rebooking us on that flight, but that is not ideal. You know, it's eating 2 days roughly out of our itinerary. We only have a certain amount of days off. So we flew into Miami, long story short, waited for the, you know, rebooking. They got us on another, they got us on standby for another flight. Actually, we didn't even have confirmed seats. Had a bit of a restless night, obviously, in Miami. And luckily we were able to get on standby on the next morning on a direct flight from Miami to Costa Rica. And honestly, we lost really only about 5 hours off of our itinerary. And I wanted to share this because this is one of maybe 3 or 4 instances during our trip that things did not happen the way that we thought that they would, but they ended up somehow being exactly what we needed and being in many ways even better than the original. And I really wanted to share that because sometimes when shit happens to us, we're just like, there goes my plans, right? Like everything is messed up. Everything is fucked. Like, oh, why me? This is such bullshit, blah, blah, blah. And it's hard to take a step back and realize that, okay, maybe life is working for us. Maybe life is happening for us rather than to us. And I remember when I first heard this sentence or phrase, you hear it a lot kind of when you're delving into personal development and the coaching world, life is happening for you rather than to you. And I distinctly remember hearing this the first time. And I was like, that is a load of crock. That is a crock of bullshit. You know, how could that be? Blah, blah, blah. And it would trigger kind of feelings within me. And I realize now it was because I felt a certain way about life. I felt a certain way about myself in relation to life and the events that were happening around me. And so if you take just our trip to from Miami to Costa Rica, how was life happening for us? Clearly it was a stressful event for us. In the grand scheme of things, obviously not a huge deal, right? It's a canceled flight. Things happen all the time. But at the time, I won't lie, we were a little stressed. We were trying our best to mitigate the situation. We weren't, you know, the first time I had a canceled flight, I think I was like in my 20s and it just kind of broke me. I was crying and super upset and all this stuff. I didn't have the strategies and the mindset and the maturity, to be honest, to deal with it the way that I dealt with it this most recent time. How did life work out for us with this first one? So we actually paid for a hotel because they were like, the airline said, it's weather related. We're not compensating you. Okay, fine. We paid for a hotel near the airport. They were very nice to us and actually upgraded us to a business suite. It was huge. It was one of those bathrooms where there's like seven. I counted. There were seven shower heads in this huge bathroom shower. And I was just like, I have no idea what to do with these. I just want to cleanse myself. And there were seven shower heads. That was really kind of extravagant. It was nice. It was a nice experience, I should say. So we got to have a dinner in Miami at a restaurant that I've actually wanted to try for a few years. I'd been to one of their satellites somewhere else, and I was like, I should go to the original. So we went, we had a great dinner, walked around Miami Beach, and luckily we got on a flight. And you know what? It worked out for us. We didn't lose too much time. We got essentially a layover in Miami, and it was a nice night, and we were able to make that happen. So in the grand scheme of things, it actually turned out okay. But again, there were multiple instances. It was like the universe was like, okay, are you sure you got that lesson? Are you sure? Because I really, really want to make this a point in your life right now. You need this lesson, so I'm going to remind you again. And so what happened was, we go to Costa Rica, we have a great time. I think maybe the second morning that after we arrived, we had booked a horseback riding tour, and it was for 8:30 in the morning. We got up early, we had breakfast, we were going to be there early. It was great. We were so excited. And there's kind of one main road in the La Fortuna area. It's just two lanes, one going, you know, one way, the other going the other way. And it wasn't very populated. We're like, oh, it's going to be great. We're going to get there 15 minutes early, have time to settle in, etc. There was a huge traffic jam. I'd never seen any traffic in that route, that road, the 2 days that were there. But that morning, there was a traffic jam. And then I think we were there for about 30 minutes. There was a downed tree. It took out a power line. I'd gotten a SIM card, a local SIM card, so I could call people in situations just like this one. But where we were, there was no cell service. And I couldn't call ahead to tell them that we were going to be late because we were stuck in traffic. And by the time traffic cleared up, we actually drove to the wrong place. And so it was kind of a bit of a mess. Luckily, they rescheduled us for 1 p.m. So what we did instead was we ended up doing a coffee and chocolate tour, which was really great. Just this family-owned farm. It was something that wasn't in our itinerary because we weren't going to have enough time for it. But because we had to make arrangements, that happened again for us. And turns out that when we went back at 1 o'clock, the tour guide said, actually, you know, we waited for you this morning, and I explained, and they understood. And they said, this morning, the tour was 6 or 8 people. It was a horseback riding tour, 1 hour to the waterfall. Then you have to climb, I think like 500 or 300 steps down to the waterfall and back up. And then you would, and that was about 1 hour. And then the horseback riding back was about 1 hour. So it was like a 3-hour tour, roughly. And they said in the morning it was 6 or 8 people, but in the afternoon it was just us. And in the morning it actually rained. So a bunch of them were on horseback, you know, in the rain. And that is not always a pleasant experience. You can't really, there's no shelter. You just kind of have to slug through it. And again, life happened for us in that instance. So we're up to 2. So another one, as if we needed more, right? You're like, okay, I get it. So no, life is going to be like, there's another lesson here for you. All right. We went to Monteverde, which is kind of a elevation. There's a cloud forest. And so it's very different in terms of the ecology and the plant and animal life than at sea level and at the rainforest. So we wanted to go ziplining. We'd scheduled a tour for 2:30. We drove, we got there early. Great. We get there, within 20 minutes, it starts pouring rain. And of course, we went during rainy season. That happens, but they canceled the tour because there was a threat of lightning and it wouldn't be safe. So they rescheduled us for the next morning, I think at 8 a.m. or something. And life happened again for us. We slept actually, I think, 12 hours straight from 5 p.m. to 5 a.m. roughly, because we had been having sleepless nights the nights before. We were also watching Stranger Things, you know, the season 4, which I talked about, I think, on the last episode. So we were staying up to watch Netflix. And so the next morning when we went, it was amazing. It was super clear, really a beautiful, beautiful day. And because we got there early, it would have taken, I think, probably 2 to 3 hours normally. Because we got there early, we were in and out in roughly an hour and a half, an hour 45. So we actually got extra time to walk around and have breakfast and just chill and that sort of thing. So there was another one where we booked a tour, a night tour, and it just started raining and we just canceled it and kind of just stayed in bed. You know, that was perfectly fine. Did we want to do the night tour? Absolutely. Did it happen? No. You know, things happen. We can't control the weather. So it was such a realization for me that the universe provides, and it was asking my husband to trust it. And it wasn't just in this instance, right? It was, for me, my interpretation was that I need to be able to trust the process, not just during our vacation, but in every other aspect of my life as well, because I had been really overwhelmed and stressed with trying to make things happen and pushing and pushing and pushing with my business, with the podcast, with social media, with writing, all of these things. And I'm being very, very frank and honest with you on here, because if I can't be honest with you here, then where can I be honest, right? And so it was a very clear lesson for me that sometimes life doesn't work out the way that we expect it to. And we've got to be able to be flexible. And I love this term that a coach once said to me. It was a phrase. She was just like, well, maybe life is asking you to be flexible. And I said, ooh, you're right. You are totally right. Life is definitely asking me to be flexible. And I wish I could take credit for that. But it was her phrase. And I just wanted to share that with you because I think it's so, so important for us to be able to have that flexibility when shit hits the fan, when things don't go our way. So how can you keep this in mind the next time you face an obstacle, the next time I face an obstacle? It's something that I want to keep in the forefront of my brain. How can you keep this in mind when a challenging event comes up for you? And can you look back at your life already and connect the dots? I'm sure you've had something that in your past hasn't gone your way, the way that you hoped. And it wasn't until later that you realized it was because something even better was in store for you. all those old relationships that never worked out, that left you a sad mess crying on your bathroom floor. They had to end for you to be with someone amazing. And maybe you're with that person now. Maybe that person is yet to come into your life. Maybe that job that passed you over all those years ago, that had you been employed there, you would never have had the career that you do now because of the opportunity that came because you were not employed, because you were still looking for employment. That project that you wanted, that you really, really, really wanted, but are now super happy it didn't pan out because the new opportunity that came into your life that landed in your lap right afterwards is 1,000 times better. Even better than you could have imagined. Even better than that first project that you actually really wanted. And for my story in Costa Rica, we could see the benefits of what was happening almost immediately, right? Morning, we couldn't go on the horseback riding tour. Afternoon, we did. We rescheduled and we found out why it was better for us to have it that way rather than the way that we originally scheduled. But life doesn't always work that way. There are plenty of instances where we're in something right now and it feels awful and it is awful and we can't see our way through it. And it's not until years later when we realize why that happened for us. And I recently went to a conference. It was a virtual conference. And one of the speakers was this woman named Vernice Armour. And her last name is literally Armour, like Under Armour or, you know, just armor for body armor and that sort of thing. She's a Marine. She did two tours as a combat pilot in Iraq. And she was a police officer as well. And now she does speaking and all these kind of engagements, has her own business, et cetera. She was telling a story, and I can't do it justice, but please follow her on Instagram, find some YouTube videos. And if you have an opportunity to hear her speak, she's incredible. She's a Black woman and she's just like, you know, got so much energy and she's so inspiring, so empowering. And she shared the story about how when she was overseas in the military, she was a combat pilot and they, I guess, had to do some tests. It was tactics training or a tactics exam. And she actually failed the exam. And because she failed the exam, she wasn't able to be in the field, if I was interpreting that correctly. And so she was really, really upset because she wanted to be out there. She wanted to be in the field. And they said, you know what? We're actually going to assign you to this diversity office and, you know, you can be our liaison, et cetera. And she said, and I love this term that she said, she's like, you got me flying a desk. And I just love what she said, the way that she said that. And for so long, she was so bitter and she was like, I can't believe I'm flying a desk. I should be out there. I should be with my brothers and sisters, et cetera. And turns out that one day she gets a call from her mom and her mom is like, your dad's really sick. Can you come? Because I don't think he has long. And she ended up getting time off to fly home to be with her father. And he ended up passing away 4 hours after she arrived. And she said that at that moment, she understood why she failed her tactics exam. Because if it wasn't for that, she would have been in the field. She would not have been able to leave. She would not have been able to be by her father's side. So I want you to just remember that the universe is asking for your trust. The universe and life God even wants you to realize that they're trying to work for you. The final question that I want to leave you with is, how do you want to live your life? Do you plan on being the victim or the victor? You know what they say? They say, to the victor go the spoils. Are you going to hold on to the belief that life is ultimately trying to spoil you? Not that it's never going to test you. That's unrealistic for anyone. But ultimately, life is trying to work for us, to help us. I want to have, and I desperately want you to have the mental fortitude, the toughness that when life turns shit upside down, not if, when life turns your world topsy-turvy, your default thought is no longer, why me? And it becomes, okay, challenge accepted, right? When my patients get a devastating diagnosis, and when their family members have to deal with the consequences of their death, the ones who are able to make it through to the other side are the ones that say, you know what? I can't entirely control what's happening right now, nor what's coming. It's out of my hands. But what I do know is that I'm going to be okay because I believe in myself. I believe in my ability to handle whatever comes. Even if I don't like it, even if I may not fully be able to react the way that I want to, I believe that I have that power. I believe that I can at least control my responses as long as my brain is working, as long as I have my wits about me. And those are the people that are the most inspiring because they know what's coming for them. They know that death is near and they know that it's going to be incredibly difficult. And at the same time, they wake up every day and they try to keep on going. They say, you know what? If this is how I'm going to go, then I'm going to choose. This is my life. I'm going to make the most out of the time that I have left. And as always, that is the bare minimum of what I hope for you. Join me next week because there's going to be even more lessons from Costa Rica, from our vacation. It was just such a blessing to be able to do this trip, have it with my husband, and spend some time together. Just relaxing, just resetting. And I hope that you are also able to find time for that in your life as well. Just a cold, hard reset. And remember, the next time you have a challenge, the next time something goes not according to plan, see if you can ask yourself, how is life happening for me rather than to me? And I'd love to hear the mindset shift or what changed for you just by asking a better question. So I hope that you have a wonderful week ahead. And as always, take care of yourselves and take care of each other. See ya.